is Shayna.
And Chris.
And we are Bad Queers. If you came out of the closet and got put in a box of stereotypes you don't belong to, then welcome to the Bad Queers Club.
All right, this week in Queer Urban Dictionary, I have girl fag.
I'm sorry.
It's there. Yep.
That was unexpected. Yep.
When I read it, I was like, when it came up on the page, wow. You know, my eyes scanning, I was like, oh, okay. That is something I don't know. Girl fag is a woman who identifies with gay male culture and or is attracted to gay men. There's several definitions out here, but I'm going to use this one, which is from Janet W. Hardy's 2012 memoir, Girl Fag, A Life Told in Sex and Musicals.
Wow.
That's probably interesting to someone, maybe you. It's a book. Girl fags, women who love, are attracted to, and identify with gay men, are a growing community with a growing voice. Girl fags are not fag hags. Fag hags enjoy gay men as company. Mm-hmm. Girl fags enjoy them as bedmates and peers.
Huh.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Interesting.
There's a lot of layers to that.
A lot of layers there. A lot.
I think
there's
find
a
this.
Lot of girl fags too. It was like when I was like,
this memoir.
Read that through, I was like, yeah. Bedmates and peers. Yeah.
Wow.
Lovers and friends. You know?
Wow.
Lovers and friends.
It does take it to a new level of lovers and friends. So
it does. It does. It does. It quite does.
You enjoy them as bedmates, but then it's like, that doesn't mean you're like in love with them. That just means you want to fuck them and have a good time. Because honestly, I could imagine that being a good time. Like the range, the things, I think. And then afterwards you're just like, let's order some food and hang out and watch our favorite show. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The more you know, huh? Girl fag. How about that?
Girl fag.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
They're out there. Growing community with a growing voice.
Wow.
Girl fags. Maybe they need a commercial. Could cut that. There we go.
100% sounds like it should be a commercial.
Yeah.
Never knew.
Introducing. Never knew. Girl fags. Yeah.
A life told in sex and musicals.
Yep.
Come on, Janet. Thank you for that.
I know.
All right. My is on the opposite spectrum of this. So my Queer Urban Dictionary word of the week is pibbling. Pibbling, which can refer to either an aunt or an uncle and is modeled on sibling, blended with the P from parent. So pibbling can also be used as a gender neutral or non-binary term to refer to the sibling of a parent, regardless of their gender identity. So instead of aunt or uncle, this is the gender neutral version of that. So my sentences, my pibblings, Emmett, Jean, and B took me to a soccer game last night. Pibbling.
Pibbling. How about it?
How about it? All right. Let's go ahead to our category is, we're going to praise Billy Porter. Our first category is, I don't know if you've been following what's been happening at the Abbey.
Seen some things.
In LA. So the Abbey is a very popular West Hollywood queer bar. It is also apparently the site of a lot of issues. So I'm going to give you all a little trigger warning. We're talking about drugs. We're talking about sexual assault. And yeah, just trigger warning for this. So the Abbey has been around for more than 30 years. It's not just a club. It is a club, but also where community folks gather. You find refuge. It's based in West Hollywood. And yet there have been a lot of stories coming out saying that the bar is the site of a lot of like disorienting and traumatic nights. We went through a full investigation, read through a full investigation with 19th News, and they interviewed over 70 people over the course of 3 years who reported going to the Abbey, drinking maybe like a drink, maybe drinking something that didn't have alcohol in it. And they experience like disorientation to varying degrees, which could also cause them to like lose consciousness and things like that. So that's terrifying. And we're not excited about that. So one of the folks who was interviewed said that she slowly started to feel dizzy and shaky, was slowly losing control of their body, was sweating, and just completely collapsed on the floor. Somebody else said that they got a drink and immediately within a couple of sips just started to feel this weird sort of vertigo feeling. And, you know, they said they're an adult. They know how to handle their liquor and that's just not their usual reaction. Most of the staff and folks that they've talked to, there's a few of them that said that there was possibly druggings at the bar on many occasions. Mm-hmm. So this story is unraveling piece by piece, but it does, the folks who work there currently are stating there's never been evidence that suggests that staff members have spiked drinks, and yet former employees are saying, yeah, this was a thing. So anytime these folks reported it to the police or any to elected officials, basically they said that their voices went unheard. They were met with indifference and resistance. So this story is going to continue to grow and continue to expand. But for anybody who is heading to the Abbey in LA, wanted to make sure that we put this story out there so that you paid attention. Please always be safe with your drinks when you're out, letting your friends know if you feel off, things like that, because while crew spaces should be safe spaces, they're not always.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that this is being uncovered. I mean, it's years of it. And, you know, the Abbey, it's like, I've probably been twice, maybe three times. I can't fully remember if it, mm-hmm. there was a third time, but definitely twice. But it's one, the biggest club in West Hollywood for a while, you know, years, mm-hmm. Gay club. But it always had bad vibes. Like, it was either racism in there, definitely some sexism, and like, it's just, yeah. West Hollywood is an interesting place to say the least, but that's the Abbey is the, you know, kind of the mega ship or whatever, mm-hmm. of it, the mothership of everything. So it, these stories have been out, but I'm glad it's getting more spotlight on it. So yeah, woof. Be careful going to the Abbey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Our next category is in trans news, because there's so much happening with the trans community that the trans community didn't ask for. Except for this one story. So we'll start, I guess we'll start positive and then go negative. I don't know. What order should we go in?
Negative.
Negative. All right. We'll talk about it. So first, Ohio just became the 22nd state to ban gender affirming care for trans kids. Doesn't stop at Ohio. More states are pushing to basically stop legally recognizing trans people in public life. And the CDC has recently found that discrimination puts trans women at higher risk for HIV. So these are all from them. And that's annoying. In positive news,
right,
to give the highlights of like what the landscape looks like for the trans community in the United States right now. We're at the point that civil rights groups are asking the UN to intervene in Texas over anti-LGBTQ plus laws. But in some positive news, the US is funding almost $700,000 into new sex education resources for trans male youth. So we'll dive deeper on the positive story here. Basically, the Biden administration approved a grant for $698,736 to the Center for Innovative Public Health Research in California last September to support the work of the Research Center's sexual health program. The timeline of the work is slated to run until 2027. So basically, youth who are assigned female at birth and identify as non-binary or trans boys are at risk for negative sexual health outcomes, yet are effectively excluded from sexual health programs. Because gender diverse youth do not experience the cisgender heteronormative teen sexual education messaging available. So they're basically stating that the grant is being provided because the lack of programming is likely contributing to obstacles in sexual health. So they are working to help the youth make sure that they know what's going on, understanding themselves, their bodies, their feelings. They're working to address the social and structural influences of sexual behavior, especially around dysphoria, rejection, discrimination, things like that. And the grant is kind of the first step
Yeah.
In this process to help address, and they are hoping that this will, you know, increase use in condoms and birth control usage, STI screenings, understanding PrEP, things like that. So, you know, one positive thing that has come out of this, but we got to pay attention to the other stuff too, because that is, especially now that we're going into elections and things like that, that is still going to continue to be a talking point, and it's going to continue to be the way that the Republican Party is attacking the LGBTQ plus community.
Yeah, it's something, right? It's something positive. So there's a lot going on. Mm-hmm. I was looking at the trans legislation tracker, and so far in 2024, there's been 343 bills introduced across 36 states. So
it's like, how do y'all even have time?
One passed, one has failed. So
I don't even have time to write these things down.
Look at, like, this is what you're focusing on? Okay. Like, you know, Republicans don't do nothing else but these bills that, like, just target trans people. Like, mm-hmm. they don't do any other governing but this and culture war stuff. So, but that's crazy. I mean, we're recording on the 25th of January, so just almost 1 month in, they got right to it, as we said they would this mm-hmm. year. It's election year. It's a lot going on. A lot of misinformation out there. A lot of, you know, everything's ramping up this year. So, woof. I'm right.
Absolutely that.
What else we got? What else is going on?
Well, let's go ahead and switch to some pop culture and talk about these Oscar nominations. And, you know, are the things that we're excited about. But there was also a lot of snubs that happened. And the people made sure that we needed to know. So the first thing we're going to celebrate is the fact that Colman Domingo received a nomination for Best Actor in a Leading Role for playing Rustin in Netflix biopic about Black civil rights leader Bayard Rustin. And this, according to New York Times, Domingo is only the second openly gay man to earn an Oscar nomination for playing a gay character, following the 1999 nomination of Ian McKellen for his leading role in Gods and Monsters. So this is super, super, super exciting. We'll also give a little shout out to little Jodie Foster over here for her supporting mm-hmm. role in Naiad, another Netflix biopic. Little Jodie Foster. Plays little Jodie. What up, girl?
Little Jodie.
Who plays out lesbian Bonnie Stoll, the real life friend and coach of the title character, long distance swimmer Diana Nyad. So if Foster wins, she will become a part of a very exclusive club of actors who have three Oscars, which is only Meryl Streep, Jack Nicholson, Ingrid Bergman, Daniel Day-Lewis, Frances McDormand, and Walter Brennan. Come through, little Jodie. But it's cool to be able to have that, like, line of queer people playing queer characters and getting awards for them.
How about that?
How
about that?
Wow.
What a novel idea.
That's wild how that works out, isn't it?
How about it? It's almost like our stories need to be told, but also with people from our community. How about that? Wow. Wait a minute. On to something.
Wow.
They might be on to something this year.
Maybe.
How about it?
We continue this trend.
Yep.
We'll have more like this. You know, iconic roles that were played. So congrats to those two. What else is happening over here? So, of course, Barbie and Oppenheimer got the most nominations. Mm-hmm. I think Barbie got 8 nominations and Oppenheimer got 13 nominations. But plot twist with Barbie, which you've probably seen everybody up in arms about, talking about anything and everything Barbie, because it stops them from talking about Palestine and Ukraine and the Congo and the election. So they were like, anything we're gonna go all in for Barbie. And the snub that happened here, because Ryan Gosling, earned a nod for Best Supporting Actor, while Barbie's lead actress and director, Margot Robbie and Greta Gerwig, got nothing.
America Ferrara did get supporting also part of it. That just mysteriously just came up out of
it.
These
really is. Even the way that we just talked about it showed like, oh, by the way, also America Ferrera.
It's like America did. Also, like,
and
like
did.
Part of those eight nominations, they certainly should win for set design because blew it out of the way.
Iconic. Even Billie Eilish.
Yeah.
Was a, for the nominations.
Billie Eilish.
That was a part of that.
You know. With Ken, I thought Ryan Gosling did a great job as Ken. I enjoyed the movie more than I thought. I think Margot Robbie, not quite convinced she should be in this category. It's, somebody's going to get snubbed, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and I haven't seen the other films, but I did think Greta Gerwig should get the nomination. Like, if anybody else, the director of this movie should. Like, Margot, tough against everybody else. Like, I don't think she... There wasn't anything in the Barbie movie. She did a great job, but I don't know if that is Oscar worthy performance, but certainly like, and she also has, would get an Oscar for being a producer on this. So it's not like she's totally shut out, but Greta for directing this and like, you know, for sure. Like that's crazy. Like she should absolutely be nominated. So
yeah.
Yeah. It was interesting to see the uproar. I mean, you know, it's the Oscars. There's always somebody snubbed, but Hillary, this one was interesting. Clinton. It was ironic.
Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Yeah.
She said, made I gotta say something. A post I gotta say about something. It because she was like, this has gone too far. And I was just nothing like, else wow, on. We got to that point that when Hillary enters the chat, cool. We don't hear much else about the things America that she says.
And Billy got nominated. Like, it's not like, you know, I get it. Like, but it's also like, come on, y'all. Come on. Come on.
So funny. Yeah. So funny.
Sterling K. Brown. First timer.
Come on,
that
Sterling.
That was good to see. I can't wait to see American Fiction.
Same.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah. There's and a couple of these I need to see, but, you know.
He was a gay, he played American a gay Fiction. Man.
I didn't know that in he this. Played
Clifford,
wow.
Cliff Ellison. It was a gay man in American Fiction. And I'm like, go ahead, Sterling. Honestly, you know what? This could be a backward opinion, but I think that Sterling K. Brown is the perfect straight guy to play a gay guy.
Yeah, I could see that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
He just has the, he has the, that. The moves,
see that.
The guidance. He feels like a type that the men would be after. Like, it just, it feels right.
It would, yeah.
It feels right.
It's a man.
He is a good gay man. A good straight man. I think he would do it
justice,
man.
Too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He would do the research.
Yeah. Like.
All the above.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, yeah. 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 Sterling, I see. But yeah, this is, you know, it's Oscars. March 10th is the live date with it. Is there anything else you think got snubbed or did we leave out?
Well, we're going to celebrate Danielle Brooks.
Danielle Brooks, yes.
Getting
yes.
Best Supporting Actress for The Color Purple. And no one else. No one else got anything. No one else for
Lily
that.
Billy Gladstone, so. Again, who should... I haven't seen... her movie that she's in, it's escaping me right now, but I know it's long as fuck and obviously not kind of a traumatic subject, but it's American history, so I'll watch it and all that, and I'm a history nerd. So yeah, it's gonna be a good night. We'll see how things shape out. Oppenheimer too at some point. I do want to watch that.
City.
It's also long as
got
shit.
Snubbed
Kokomo City.
Could have been on I didn't even for best documentary the- feature.
Who's
I think it was like in
that
the running.
Category. Let me see.
I think it was in the running for
that's
that.
Crazy. That
so Kokomo City didn't
snubbed. Who's in that category? I'm like, now who got it? Let's see.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Let's find it.
Bobby Wine, The People's President, The Eternal Memory, Four Daughters, To Kill a Tiger, and 20 Days in Maripo. I think that's how you say it. Maybe not.
I'm not even gonna try.
Okay. Okay. And then Lily Gladstone, it's Killers of the Flower Moon is the movie. So we cover the bases there. Okay, I hear the holdovers is good too. There's a, you know, there's a lot of movies out. I do want to check out this stuff.
Yep. Yep. Also, I know that Trace Lissette, they were hoping that she would have gotten a nomination for her performance in Monica, which was a drama that follows a trans woman as she returns home to care for her dying mother. So, you know, things to pay attention to.
There's a lot of movies to watch. My goodness. Okay. But yeah, congratulations to the people who were nominated, and I'm sorry for the people who weren't. And that is, it doesn't mean your movie or your performance wasn't good. You know who also got left off was Anjanue Ellis Taylor for,
yes,
what is that movie? It's, what is it? Escaping it. Let's see. Origin. Which I feel like, is that, it's not widely out yet, right?
I know
it's gone to one of the award shows, but
yeah,
it's not widely out.
No, I don't think it is.
Based on Cast, The Origins of Our Discontent by Isabel Wilkerson. So that is, I'm hearing about that one.
I've heard really great things about it. I think, I could be lying. Shelley, I apologize if I'm lying. I think Shelley went hard about this on her recent Substack. So I think it's a, I think it's a good one. I believe it's a good one.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm going with.
Okay. Well, again, you know, that's, it's the best of the best. So even if you're not nominated, there's so many good films that are good and you got to check out. How about it? Okay. Are we good with that? We good with the Oscars? We're going to move on.
We're going to move on.
I think we did everything. Yeah. All right. Let's get to our advice segment and my bad queer. Email your questions to badqueerspodcast@gmail.com to be featured, or DM us on IG at badqueerspod. Okay. This first one is from Nita. Nita asks, am I a bad queer for feeling like my friend holds some responsibility after being cheated on for the fourth time by the same girlfriend who I told her wouldn't stop cheating?
Four is
a lot.
Not you being the right too, like your friend being right.
Four that's times.
Wow. Yeah.
Four, maybe all she knows. Okay. The first two times I was sympathetic and there for her. I've known her for most of my adult life and wouldn't abandon her in her time of need. The third time cheating, I started to change my tune and tell her her girlfriend will only keep doing what she allows and should leave. But she stayed that time and now came to me crying about this fourth time and I have nothing for her. I'm starting to think my friend likes the drama of it. To my knowledge, my friend can move out and on financially. Both of them would be fine leaving each other. So it's not a lease situation. I don't think there's any other abuse, although I'm not in it. And outside of the serial cheating, her girlfriend takes great care of her and is loving. Look, she's fine. It's just the cheating all the time. I think her girlfriend just likes new pussy, as guys would say, and won't stop stepping out. There's that.
Okay.
That's why I somewhat blame my friend for staying, because there's no reason to stay if this hurts her as much as she says it does. What would y'all say, Nita? Look, she's a great gal. Great gal. Beautiful gowns.
Beautiful
gowns.
Cheating.
Yeah. A lot of cheating. Yeah. So I don't think you're a bad queer for this. Like, after the fourth time, that's a lot of times to be cheated on and stay. Like, if it really bothers you. And again, if, you know, if their situation is true, that they, it's not a financial thing, it's not a abuse thing, it's not a, you know, they, it doesn't appear that her friend doesn't have the safety and financial safety to move on. Then it's just like, what do you say? Like, you can, I still think it's important to be supportive. Like, don't abandon her, but just be like, I mean, revert back to the third time this happened. What I said, like, they're going to keep doing it, which they appear to be doing. So it is on your friend to leave if that's a deal breaker to them, or if maybe it's not. And she hasn't worked through those feelings. I don't know. But four is a lot to be cheated on and not leave. Like, that's a hell of a lot. What do you think? This is,
my goodness.
Four is a lot.
I just love,
that's like, as a parent, like counting, I'm gonna count to three.
Okay.
You better stop. And you're like, now you're,
and then it's like, and
eight.
And then you're, yeah. Literally that. I was like, I was imagining her friend coming to her the fourth time crying and the friend just being like, there. Like, Nita just over here, just light pat on the back. Like, Yeah, you know. Cry it out. Okay, again. Look,
did Tristan Thomas do you it? Know, Thompson do this
checks
again?
It's on like things. All I can think about is the Shy as well, and how the one character. Why am I terrible at characters?
Is it Emmett?
Yeah, there we go.
Emmett. Yes. Yeah. And Emmett how was he busy was
like,
"No,
I'm getting married. I'm doing all the things." But I'm like, "But then you fuck Lala before." Even getting to that point, and then you feel all guilty because you put a ring on it, which you did yourself, sir.
You did it.
And that's what I feel like this person is just like Emmett. But then, plot twist, you
redeeming
say,
qualities. Okay. Emmett was a great guy.
Okay. Okay. Right. Great guy. Very loose. Caring. Did the things, but
it is Lala, but
could
not
resist the pussy. And I feel like that's exactly your friend is dating Emmett. Your friend is dating Emmett. I want your friend to act this scene out and go. Yeah. Say, okay, we're going to be in an open marriage and then watch the girlfriend's behavior stop as your friend goes out and gets new pussy. And then she's like, wait a second, I don't like that though. I don't like it. And now I fuck everybody else and it just feels weird and I don't like it anymore. I would love that. I would love that.
And if
for
you
your
are
friend.
Monogamous and that person's not, then it's just like, it's not going to work, baby. It's the fourth time.
You
like, it's
the
just,
auntie,
you know
baby.
What I mean? Because like, it's not. Like, it's just like, come on, yo. Like, yeah, like that's disrespectful. And I don't want to absolve the girlfriend for any culpability in this because stop cheating. But and you should break up. But it is that kind of like she's not going to stop if she's not leaving because it's working out for her. And like each time she's able to manipulate the situation in some way to continue this going. I don't know what you say on the fourth time. Like, I am really going to turn this around. This like, or maybe they're not saying that. I don't know. It's just like, yeah, you either leave because you desire a monogamous relationship and that person can't stay monogamous. Or if you're open to it being open or looking or being a different type of relationship, or non-monogamous relationship, then y'all need to talk and work that out. So your feelings aren't getting hurt and your person's more considerate. Like, I don't know. Like, that's a lot. Four is a lot.
Too
how
much.
High can we go? Like where is it gonna stop?
The price is right. So,
right. So
I'm more upset at the fact that both of them are financially able to be out of this relationship and are still staying in it. Like what is the girlfriend's reason?
Yeah.
What does she say every time she comes back? What type of sweet talking things is she doing? Because obviously she should be a lawyer. She would get everybody out.
Yeah.
Okay. So I just, that's what I want to know. But also you are not a bad queer for wanting to be the friend that's sick of your friend coming to you after each time and repeating the same behaviors and doing all the things, especially in a situation like this, that is controllable. So you're not a bad queer.
Yeah. It's like, all right, girl, stand up. All these, these wall cries, wall slide cries and everything. Like, all right, girl, come on.
That's a person that gets the Holy Ghost time they go to church. And you're just like,
guess what she did? You don't really? Please don't tell me to guess what she did. I know what she did. Guess what? No, I know. I don't. No need to guess. I know what she did.
Wow.
So, but don't abandon your friend, you know. Don't abandon her.
But yeah, but probably change the topic.
Crank. Yeah. Or I would ask why do you say? And then also, there's just questions to be asked.
I feel like I imagine Nita has probably asked all the questions. I feel like she has exacerbated all resources.
Right. This look, maybe you need to circle back, Nita. Like, gonna circle back on this question I asked you about why. Like what are you getting from this? Is it the sex, that bomb, is everything else just so, because it might be somebody who is actually like doesn't care that her person has other people but doesn't know that she can have that type of relationship because it's socialized that, you know, monogamy is the way to go. But maybe she hasn't worked out her feelings with that. Like, I don't know. But circle back with some questions. So
funny.
Yeah.
Woof. Good luck.
Yeah.
For your friend, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks, Nita. All right. Our next Am I a Bad Queer comes from Tanner. It's a good Tanner. Old school name, Tanner.
Yeah.
Tanner says, am I a bad queer for understanding why cis people hate the word cis and think it's a slur? I know it's not weaponized in the same ways as the derogatory terms used against our community, but I understand why they wouldn't want to be called that. No one wants to be called word or words they don't self-identify as.
Mm. Oh, Tanner. What do you think?
Tanner? Honey. When it comes to trans and cis, that's not how that works. That's not how that works would be my initial statement, because these are also like scientific terms to describe the buddies, and that's just what that is. You don't self-identify as cis. It is always just a fact that you are cis, and it is a fact
around
that you are
for a while
trans, and that's what it is. Maybe, you know, I could hate being called a lesbian. That is a sure choice that I could be making. Like, I don't have the choice of being queer, but how I identify in my queerness, like, maybe I don't want to use the term lesbian.
Yeah.
In that regard. I, you know, personally, I know I love women the most, but I am also open to more things. And that is why I sit under the queer umbrella rather than staying under the lesbian umbrella, which would probably be the most adjacent thing to me. That is how I am pointing that out there. But words like cis and trans are not in the options area. Part of it, if you could see my hand and how it's like just like combing and thinking.
So you're like, how do I connect with you here? Right. Look, how do I meet you here, Tanner, with this, like, you are back queer for this. It's like, I'm like, it's not a slur, baby. It's not. They are just, and you, it's just objectively, like, take a step back.
I feel like you're going
to
do a better.
Because your whole, like, no one wants to be called words or words. Okay. Mm-hmm. But they've never complained about this word that's always been around until now. Mm. Now.
There we go. That's a much better argument.
Now it's a slur. In the same way that white people are now telling us what racism is. Mm. Like, they're like, if you say skin color about anything that they've done, you know, you're racist. And it's like, is that, so that's this generation's like defense of being racist. It's like, no, you're racist for pointing out the racism. Like, you, like, that's their thing. So I feel like this is along that where they, like, cisgender people, since it's been around, are like grasping at, like, well, what can I do or take from the very real things they're telling me about to be like, I too am a victim of cis, being called cis. Like, it's like, what? Like, there's no danger in being called cis or cisgender. There's no danger in, like, that at all. There's no violence attached to it. They're not, it's nothing they have to worry about. There's no laws being made. It's just them trying to be victims.
Yes.
And they never brought this up before. It's been around. Cisgender has been around. We've been saying that word. It's, yeah.
It's like they're trying to, it's like a backwards empathizing that they're trying to do. Hear me out. Basically, whenever, for the people who find cis to be derogatory and they're like, no, don't call me that. Just think how you would feel. And it's almost like they're trying to empathize with the LGBTQ plus community, but it's very wrong.
It happens to us too.
It's a reverse, like, empathy. Yeah, like,
it's weird.
If you're going to feel like a victim, here's my opportunity to feel like a victim. And I understand because I know that's how you would feel if I did this to you. So if I feel this way, you should respect how I feel. It's like, it's a negative opposite of empathy. There's a word for that.
Yeah. It's just quite a reach.
Also that.
It is quite a reach. Like, spraining something reach. Like, you've torn ligaments in this reach. Like, you have the hammy, the quad, it is tearing it up.
Yeah.
It's trying to reach ending, for this. Like, this
season
is.
Season ending injury is what's done. Happening.
It's one of those, like, nagging. It's like a grade two. Like, it's just, it is grade three, maybe. Like, it is terrible. Like, you know, it's not like maybe surgical interventions aren't even necessary. It's just like, y'all just, you tore it.
Mm-hmm.
You tore it reaching. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no, Tanner, you're back for this. Because it's like, what's really happening to them with cis? Like, what's really happening that you can compare it to what's happened and happening in our community. And timing's everything too. This has been around. It's been around. Mm-hmm. So now they got a problem. It's weird. How about that timing?
So weird. So weird. But you know, I'm not even going to say it.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say like A for effort. But I also feel like that's a lie. So
yeah,
you know, I'm just going to leave it at that. I was like,
put some heat on that torn,
you know, you're out
ligament.
You're out for a good while. Try and get started again feel this until you do some rehab and educate.
Reach in
the folks. Yeah. You know?
They also they're fine. They don't need any caping. Like they're fine. They're fine. Mm-mm. They're okay. All right.
Wow. That threw me for a loop. I was like, my words. I hope everybody listening came with me on my journeys as I was trying to explain the things because I was so shocked by that question. So, Chris, thank you for being way more clear on how to describe that. Because I was all over the place because that's how I felt hearing that question, Tanner.
That's just my daily world. Like bring you back to
that's
like,
here, how I felt that I haven't felt that level of confusion to then be able to like explain why,
like, what do you
and
say
come
that?
Back to that to say that a queer person understands why a cis person what
yeah no one wants to be called words that you don't self what? What I mean but
this isn't one
Tanner the timing Tanner the timing
the
look
timing,
at the timing
Tanner.
Anything to escape accountability. So
my goodness.
Ooh, okay. This.
But thanks for writing in.
It's a question. Yeah. Yeah.
And we gave an answer.
Yeah, it is. It's a question. And I've seen it before. I see. You know, there's always some queer people that are caping up for straight people in ways where it's just like they're fine, and they would never do this for you. But you got it. You got it. Mm-hmm. Sure. Mm-hmm. I have straight friends too, you know. My mother is straight, so I know their pain,
their struggles.
I understand. I know their struggles. I know straight people. I have straight friends.
Excuse me,
I have cis friends.
First of all,
my mother was cis.
I too am cis.
I understand it all. Me too. I identify as cis. There we go.
Right here. It's like, ooh, what? But also,
they'd be embarrassing.
Straight people are not okay as well. Like, I also want to talk about that because the way that I've been hanging out with more straight people lately, and oh my God, listening to the men talk about their feeling, and then listening to the women who are dating the men talk about their experience.
It's
oh my gosh, I'm so concerned. The more that I talk about it and discuss it, the more that I sit and talk to walls of men who just like, they say their feelings and do the stuff and then you explain it and they're like, yeah, no, but I still don't understand why. And I'm like, I just explained it to you. I just explained it to
you.
You
didn't listen to any of
why
it, did you?
Why is it when I gave an example of like what it could be to understand, they're like, they have to find a challenge in it instead of just processing what was said. They're just ready for the rebut. I'm just like, wow, are y'all okay?
Yeah. Empathy is a hell of a roadblock for some people. Like, it's not like we're taught that. Some people have families that are, you know, model that and they're able to be empathetic and stuff like that. But empathy is just not people saying. Like, they're just like, I hear what you're saying in your experience, but in your facts like, and data.
But this never happened to me. This happened to me before. This never happened to me. And it's like, okay, let's talk through it. And then it just, that and veers off left, right, up, down, circles, spun around. You're not even going to the destination anymore. And I'm just like, how did we get here? It's been with so many guys that
it's
I'm just like, wow.
It's a lot. Yeah.
You're not okay. All right. Next up. Sorry, I just had to get it off my chest.
No, I mean, listen, I'm raising a boy. Looking at all this stuff, like, woo. It is, you have to talk to these boys because they are just woof. Tell you something. Son. Mm-hmm. Got stories to tell you. Mm-hmm. Tell you the picture, the whole picture.
The whole. But
you gotta be, I mean, empathy is just a big, like, that is, it's nothing else. Teacher, you don't have to experience it to just be empathetic towards people. Like, it is just. Mm-hmm. They are telling you an experience and something that happens in a lot of cases, like happens more often than not, like the mm-hmm. data's there, and they'll be like, I hear you, but like they'll tell you it's anecdotal, like where it's just like, I know what happened to you, but I think my experience supersedes your lived experiences mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. what you're telling me, which yes. is crazy. But
yes.
So wild. Yeah. Wild. All right. Well, this last one is from Nyla. Nyla asks, am I a bad queer for not wanting anything to do with my LGBTQ ERG at my job?
I love this.
ERG, Shana had identified it a couple episodes ago, but that's an employee research group. I love this. It goes on, I do participate in some of their programs that take place during work hours,
right.
but they want to do some of the office stuff, some out of office stuff, excuse me. And I don't want to spend my off hours with coworkers. Okay. It feels like different coworkers reach out separately to try and get me to go do things with them, and each and every one of them get turned down. How do I show that I like them and will continue to do work activities, but off hour hangouts aren't my thing? Nyla. Mm. Oh, Nyla, it's me. it's me, Nyla.
That's actually like incredibly true.
You are.
That is incredibly yeah. true. How did you yeah. make it while we were working together? That's impressive.
Listen, clearly you were all right, because you are the longest coworker, former colleague relationship that I have had.
I love
you know,
that.
In terms of talking,
I feel so honored.
Like, I still follow people I used to, you know, kind of thing, and we'll interact from time to time on Instagram or something. But like, yeah. same way. And a lot of it is like, it's not so good to have that outlook, because there are things you can miss out on and the networking of it and all that kind of stuff. But some people do just want to, hey, my off hours are my off hours. I don't want to think and be around anything work related. Mm-hmm. And you have a right to feel that way too. I think it's great that you participate during work hours, probably to pass the time. Like, sure, probably let's do it. But your off hours hangout time is your time, you know, and I'm sure you have other friends and other people you want to spend that time with. So yeah, it just is what it is. I think that if we had less days at work, I'd probably be friends with my coworkers more. Mm. So I totally get it. Change it to a four-day, three-day work week.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, and we can hang out. Like,
we
you know
can
what
hang
I mean?
Out.
Mix it up. But because I see you 5 days, 40 hours, that's a lot of time
yes.
that I give you.
Yes.
It's a lot of time, mm-hmm. you know, remote, mm-hmm. otherwise, it doesn't matter. It's a lot of time to give mm-hmm. y'all. So yeah, just keep consistent, you know, stay consistent, and, you know, you could even tell them, joke with them, no hard feelings. But yeah, I just want to spend my off hour stuff doing what I want to do. And, you know, maybe one thing in the future you'll go to, you know, but
maybe,
but, you know. And maybe for their team, don't stop believing, you know, maybe one time Nyla might take you out. You might say something, a restaurant, spot that she's been wanting to go to, and mm-hmm. she'll take you up on it. But yeah, I'm going to hold my breath, like, you know.
Yeah.
But that's my perspective. Please give because you, again, I've told you and said on here, like, you're great at networking. You're great at, like, you have a lot of friends too. You're very social. So I feel like the hermit, I'm going to be on your side. Like, I'm social in spurts, but I'm like, like, especially with work, like, off hours.
No,
I'm off work.
It's
so
for me, and this is as a person who is on the leadership council of our Black ERG at my job. Okay, so
I am the president of
talk about this. Okay,
ERG.
First of all, good. Set those boundaries very early. There are so many ways to participate in ERGs during work hours that you don't have to. You don't have to go out and do all of this excess stuff off of work hours. And for the most part, if they are having you do a lot of these things off work hours, wow. Wow, wow, wow. Because every once in a while, I think we have like city-based like meetups every once in a while, but it's just kind of run mm-hmm. by whoever. And, you know, for those, it's incredibly chill. So you could feel good about going to that, because it's not going to, yeah. you're not going to walk into your company branded things and be handed out company branded stuff. It's just, hey, we all live in this area. Let's go and hang out at this bar. Been wanting to check it out. Let's go do it. And maybe that's more your vibe if you were to do something outside of office hours. I also recognize, like, for my company, I don't know how big the company is that you work at, but it's big enough to have an ERG. So maybe some of these folks don't get to see you regularly. And they're like, hey, why don't you come? Why don't you hang out? Why don't you do the things? Maybe instead, you could plan something with like that little group of the folks that you do mm-hmm. like, and you could have a lunch at work during work hours, or you could meet up for coffee right as you're going to work or in the first part of the morning and have a little meetup so that you are still showing that you have interest in them, just not interest in the activities. I always, yeah. I love my coworkers who absolutely are like, well, look at the time, gotta go. Got a seat. And I'm yeah. like, oh, but we're hosting this thing. Nope. And I was like, and I know you won't be there, but I'm going to ask you because I like you. And maybe one day you'll surprise me and say yes, but I'm not going to push you to go to anything. And if you ever feel pushed and stuff, like that's not okay. But for the most part, yeah. it just sounds like your coworkers really want to hang out with you and that you're probably a really cool person. So I would find alternate hours to hang out with those people that you like without trying to make it a whole ERG thing. And just knowing like, I like this little queer group of people here. Let's make some time to hang out or talk or get on a Zoom or do something that's intentional and during the workday. And then you can clearly just say, look, after hours things are not for me. I really like my downtime. I really need to like recoup and do all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And if they're good people, they're going to understand and they're not going to question it. So
yeah,
that would be my suggestion. But if your ERG is only doing stuff after work hours, that's a red flag. That's a red flag.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
Like I some will of say that happy hours. Events. Yeah. Happy hours used to catch me. I should mention that. Like if you connected it to the end of the day and it's a Friday, and especially the jobs I've had where I've worked in cities, whether that was like in DC or in San Francisco and in Oakland. And even with when we worked, like we had our happy hours where it's like, I mean, you want that Bart rush to like die off anyway. Yes. And like, sure. Like, I'll get a drink. Sure.
I get a drink. I get some food.
Yeah.
I don't have to pay for
exactly,
it.
Exactly. Exactly. Y'all paying for it? Like,
great.
I'll go. But yeah, a lot of off hours things, activities is, yeah, it's a little, it's a red flag. At least a yellow one. Like, where's like,
a minimum?
I don't know.
So yeah.
Like, do y'all have other friends outside of here? Like, it's fine if y'all are friends, but
I know. Yeah, just, you know, I actually wonder hang out with. About a lot of people who like do get really, really, not to hate on the people who are very gung-ho and spirited. And I know that you had a bunch of school spirit growing up and this is now carried over into your job. But sometimes I do wonder, I'm like, how many people you know outside of here?
Yeah. 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 Like with? This is your friend making vehicle basically. You
because
know?
I know that like, was it's just like, when we used to work together, when I first started working there, that was my initial friend avenue because I didn't know anybody really.
Yeah,
when I
moved you just there. Had moved.
So I was like, I'll go hang out. Yeah, I'll go do these things. This is my social time because I don't have.
Okay. You had events too. Okay. So like
those things, that was like, where until I joined the sports party. League, until I was introduced to other people, like those were my people. And I went and was like, if I'm going to get social time, I have to go hang out with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nyla, this tangent, is clearly not you.
I just saw pictures from the party I threw in Oakland right before COVID hit, that February 2020, where I was like, oh my God, like I forgot. I threw a whole party right before COVID ended. Everything, well, not everything, but most nightlife things for the longest time. And I was like, oh yeah, that's right. There was a lot of clubbing during those days.
There was a lot of
parties. So
You were busy.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, so global events manager will do that. But that was a good party in Oakland. But COVID. That very next month. February for the party and March with COVID and lockdown. And we locked down like the first area.
Oh, yeah.
Seattle.
So.
But also remember that there was like people already getting staying home remotely and like the months before, which is a big deal in the Bay. It was like, all Apple employees are on work from home. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, something is going on. Or they banned, that was a big thing, was the domestic or international travel. Like they took that away. It was like, what's going on?
Really, what's happening? Like, what's happening?
something's happening. And then domestic. And it was like, this is a thing. Like,
here we are.
So
staying home. But yeah.
How about that?
Nyla, all that to say, you're not a bad queer.
Right.
For doing that, make time for the people you want to make time for and protect the rest of it.
Yeah. Hope that helps. Well, that was our advice segment, Am I a Bad Queer? Email your questions to badqueerspodcast@gmail.com to be featured or DM us on IG at badqueerspod.
All right. What type of bad queers would we be if we didn't have unpopular queer opinions? So I was thinking about this. in the free agency and WNBA that is happening currently right now. We're paying attention to it. We're getting headlines, all the things. I realized as quiz, most of us probably don't know enough about the WNBA free agency. And this is a big thing because it's players deciding where they're going to go and teams deciding where they're going to go. So this is a huge impact. And I want to be sure that we understand what free agency looks like, because I felt like a bad queer that I didn't know what certain phrases meant, what the timing was, who were the big players that were happening. So I decided to pull together the phrases so that we could better understand what WNBA free agency is. So first up, you're going to have your unrestricted free agent. These people can speak to and sign with any team they want. They can go get schmoozed and boozed and all the things from different teams and then choose which team they want. They have full control over their future and destiny. A restricted free agent can speak to and sign with any team they want, but they can have that offer matched by their prior team. So they could go and the New York Liberty could be like, ooh, we love you. We're going to give you, I'm going to speak big numbers because the WNBA is not at that level yet, but I want them to be. So we're going to give you, you know, $10 million plus travel benefits and hotel stay and free childcare. And your team's going to come back and be like, we're going to give you $12 million and go from there. Mm-hmm. So that offer can be matched. You could return to your team or you could continue leaving. Reserved players, players who hit free agency with fewer than 3 years of service. I was like, of service sounded military to me, but I was like, right. And keep it moving. Often these veterans, who entered the league later in their career, but they can also be younger players who, for whatever reason, were not on a typical rookie scale contract. So the prior team has exclusive negotiating rights with said players. So they're reserved. They have to negotiate with their team. If there's another team, maybe like is in benefit for that team to trade that player, things like that. But they, the team has negotiating rights for that player. Mm-hmm. And then the core player is the team uses the core designation on the player. They gain exclusive negotiating rights with them. Mm. Even if that player was set to be an unrestricted free agent. Basically, teams do this for players they really want to stay. Mm. Like Alana Del Don. They just put the core on her because they're like,
makes sense. Yep.
They were like, hey girl,
hey, we need you. We need you.
Please don't leave. Please.
Baby, please.
Please don't. Baby, yeah. Baby, come back. Yeah. So when teams do this, they have to also be very careful when they do this because each player is only allowed to be cored 2 times in their career.
Oh, that's good. Want to get out of control with this cord.
Okay.
Like, all right.
They build every year.
I am negotiating Wilson, with another
going
team.
Nowhere. Get Breonna off. Stewart, get off. Going nowhere.
Let me go. Let me go. Core every year,
you know. So things of that nature are happening. If we have like examples like Jonquil Jones,
mm-hmm.
unrestricted free agent,
lot of free agents.
But the rumor is that Jonquil is going to continue with New York. Mm-hmm. Very excited about this.
Stewart too.
Uh-huh.
Stewart is. Oh yeah. Also,
Breonna Stewart wasn't going nowhere.
She won't go nowhere.
Yeah, go nowhere. Nneka Ogumike.
Yeah,
has apparently announced that she has announced that she will no longer play for the LA Sparks. It was rumored that she was here touring Chicago and with Chicago's new coach.
Mm.
Oh, if I have an LA NECA jersey, which I do have, and then yeah. I have a Chicago NECA jersey. Oh my God.
Yeah. Ogumike.
Always
cut them in the middle and get them sewn
yep,
together. Too.
I sure would. Yep. I sure mm-hmm. fucking would. Yeah. Be worth every dollar.
I feel like I saw somewhere that the LA Sparks have the most free agents. Like the Sparks are going to look very different mm-hmm. next year. Like,
they are.
It's influx.
They are. So. And I think there's been a lot of talk about Derek Fisher as the coach and the things that are happening there. But I don't know. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Yeah. But, you know, some of the big talks are already going on. Some moves are already being made. So hopefully some of this terminology helps you understand why certain players are moving the way they are and why certain players don't have that freedom.
Yeah.
But this is going to be a big year.
Do you
year.
Have any predictions of if, well, Brittany Griner is also expected to stay
yeah.
in Phoenix, but okay. What about Skylar Diggins-Smith? Where is Skylar going?
I swear.
Not to the Mercury, obviously.
Oh my God. I want this bitch in Chicago so badly. So badly. Because again, to have the people, like I called this before and I said this before because I wanted Clea Copper and then Courtney Williams and then Skylar Diggins. I'm like, just get all of these trash talking people. They would be like the Bash Brothers. They would be the Bash Brothers of the league. And we need a Bash Brothers team, whether it's talking or muscle. I don't even care. Mm-hmm. I want it. I see it. I feel it. So I would love for her to be in Chicago. I feel like, and I feel like our new coach is like the right coach to handle her personality and the big things and handle all of these big personalities.
Teresa Weatherspoon.
I think it'd be great. I think it'd be great.
Yeah. Yeah. Where would Skylar go?
I want her in Chicago. I think Chicago
would be cool.
I think she could do Atlanta as well.
Can do Atlanta. Yeah, it would be interesting to see what the dream comes up with.
Yeah.
Definitely could do Chicago.
I could see her in Dallas,
maybe
too.
Chicago.
That Dallas is like my...
Dallas is interesting where they're going to be.
You know? I feel like they're in a good like transition phase, and I think Skylar could contribute to that.
Yeah. Deladon stay. Who? What do you think? Do you think that there's a third mega team that forms? Or
oh my god, that would actually be fantastic if that did happen.
Yeah,
because
be nice.
I mean, Fever is on the up and up.
They got a lot of good draft picks.
They're getting all of these first draft picks. Yeah. So if they're about to get first draft pick again, I believe. Yeah, no, they did. So they're going to get first draft pick again. Caitlin Clark comes in and you have Caitlin Clark and Aaliyah Boston on the same fucking team.
Bitch,
what?
Listen, and then the right pieces, the veteran pieces around them. Obviously, we got to hold right here. What did you think of Caitlin Clark in the running into the student?
Okay. Look
for the Ohio State game.
Okay, look for that. It was timely that I actually did empathize with her because I had just basically done that same move in my football game earlier, and homegirl basically like was real close to knocking the wind out of me. Like we ran into each other, and I didn't fall all the way down by any means. I didn't do a dramatic spin fall.
That spin fall was something else.
But I did.
I was like, don't you spin fall in the WNBA
and catch myself for a moment and make sure I could breathe. So I don't doubt that she did get the wind knocked out of her by any means. Because homegirl was running out hard
collision,
and it was a full collision. There's that. That it happened.
The spin was a lot, but it was definitely a collision.
But the way that it could have happened, I was like, I'm not gonna debate you because this recently just happened to me and I was on turf in cleats. So I could only imagine what would have happened if I was on a basketball court in basketball shoes. Would I have done three spins? Who knows? Who knows? But I was on a turf in cleats. So
you're like, hey,
I was like,
it happens.
It does. And I'm going to give it
to you. Why was she running while people were rushing the court?
Well, they were all running.
That's a tradition.
It was her team because it was like they were done. They rushed the court and they were going to run off into the locker room.
But I feel like I saw teammates after her. Well, they probably stopped after they saw her get hit. But I was like, you got to be careful in any sport when they rush the court or the field when this happens or whatever, where it's just like it's a stream in all directions. Like there's people trying to get down to the court and like that girl. And I would love to see the angle of like
of her recording
her phone or whatever she was recording.
I want to see the recording.
Needs to put that out because that shit is funny as fuck. Like she's like, fuck yeah, we just fuck. And then like her getting up, she didn't see who she hit either. She just kept going to the middle. So obviously it wasn't intentional. And this happens in college sports a lot. You upset somebody, you rush the court. But I guess that was my thing. It's just like, you just got to be very careful once that happens, like how you get out. So I was surprised to see Caitlin jog or running as fast as she could or just jogging whatever we want to say that was when that was happening, like you just got to kind of be careful. Like I would kind of want just as security around me to kind of bubble and we get out, but it was interesting to say the least. But that's funny that you had an on turf experience where you were like, hey,
that same day.
It's very dangerous.
Same day where I was like, ooh, and my friends were talking about it. And I was like, I think on any other given day, I might've said some shit, but today No. I have been humbled.
You're like, hey, I'm here to explain the dangers of running into someone and the pirouettes you can do. So, yeah, very interesting. But it's going to be interesting to see where people fall with the WNBA free agency. Lot going on. Mm-hmm. I do want to see another mega team. Because why not?
Why not? We need some help.
You know, why not? So what city will it be? I think Chicago has a great chance. Or LA, because it's LA. Mm-hmm. So you never know what that roster will look like. But yeah, we'll see.
I'm keeping my fingers crossed for Indiana. Because why not?
I guess why not? Why not? Why not? Sure. Sure. It's there. Mm-hmm. It's being built. Mm-hmm. So yeah. All right. My backward opinion or just discussion is I just want to make it clear that to me, gossiping is genderless. Like, it's a human trait. We all do it. Though it's always painted as a negative trait amongst women and gay men. Heterosexual men, you know, have always gossiped. It may look different with them, but they love to gossip and they gossip as much as anybody. So it's genderless to me. Everybody gossips. It looks different. Like, niggas be on the court talking about all types of things that happen. Like, it's not just women and gay men that have loose lips and gossip all the time and all that. Like, it's really a genderless thing. But I also want to say that heterosexual men aren't sassy when they gossip. So stop trying to call them that. Like, sassy is like the new gay, I guess, now. Mm. Like, I see it thrown around all the time with something that straight women deem effeminate that a, you know, heterosexual guy is doing or just a man's doing, where they're like, oh, that's sassy. Or it's just like, that is, you're replacing sassy gay with sassy. So yeah, wanted to point that out too. It's not sassy that they straight men gossip, because mm-hmm. Everybody gossips. It just looks different on everybody. So yeah, gossiping is genderless. It's just gonna happen. People talk all the time.
Gossiping historically is currently genderless.
It really is. Mm-hmm. So there we have it.
I love it. That's a great point. No notes. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah. I hope that resonated with who it did, because it's just gossiping is for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. So.
All right. Well, what a great note to wrap the show up on. So I'm going to go ahead and move on to giving shout outs to our faves, because you know we would never leave you without giving shout outs to our faves. My shout out this week goes to a new queer black play party that's launching in Oakland. I hope I am pronouncing it correctly, but B Tourmaline's vision is to make safe spaces for queer and trans black people through events, community, and the normalization of black pleasure. They recently had a play party called Roots Volume 2. So Roots, like driving roots, like R-O-U-T-E-S. And it was great. And they're going to have more events coming up. So be sure to follow them at B.Tourmaline, TOURMALINE_ on IG.
All right. My shout out is to former guest and friend to Bad Queers, Natalie J. Harris, who premiered her latest film, Grace, at Sundance Film Festival. I got to see it as somebody who supported the film, and thanks to everybody who did support the making of the film. It's beautiful and can't wait to see where else it's streaming. I just canceled my Max subscription, but Max or someone else picks it up like they did with Pure. So follow Natalie's updates on IG, where the film is screening next, and how to support at Natalie Jasmine Harris. So. Yeah. Beautiful film.
Mm-hmm. Congrats
angsty
to you.
Again, a lot of angst. Takes place in 1950s. So it's beautifully shot. The cinematography is like great. So shout out to Natalie.
Love it. So all
make
the photos.
Movies.
It was great.
Make a movies.
Come on, friends.
Mm-hmm.
Get these movies.
Yep.
Well, for everybody, thank you so much for tuning in, coming along on some of our thought journeys. There was a lot of thought journeys today, but we liked it.
That is the name of this. We're getting away from sexual names. Ending the
our whole
ending
month. The January. We're going into February. Hope right. We'll be. No, I don't know. But yeah, thought journeys will be the next episode. There we go. So thank you so much for tuning in, and we will see you next week.
Take care.
Shout out to Sienna Liggins for our Bad Queer soundtrack titled Me Again, and our sound engineer Cesar for making us sound like we know what we're doing. If you enjoyed the episode, please take the time to leave us a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Until next time.